The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another show to the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're going to be recapping the first day of the NBA playoffs in the latter half of the play-in tournament, so buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in basketball? Yes! High fly ball to the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound Bosh. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch of free throws, because they're furry. So 335 coming hot at you guys, and so 334. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Toss from the Rocktosopolis. And I'm only here for half the show. Then I'm going to kick it back over to Toss, who's going to recap the latter slate of games. I have to go to a wedding tonight, which is exciting.
It's wedding season.
It's wedding season. You know what? I still have never been to a wedding as a guest, like in my older ages, only as an MC, which is the same situation tonight. I'm MCing my old boss.
Do you have a wedding on the horizon that you will be attending as a fan? To make a sports reference?
As a fan. Hello, fans. No, I don't, which is like honestly sad.
I'm sure it's coming.
It'll come, like, and I'm always pressuring myself.
It will come. I'm sure, because I know it will come. Yeah. I'm not saying that to, like, hey, Josh, I'm not coddling you. I'm not saying, Josh, I promise, man, someone likes you enough to invite you to their wedding.
I'm not like, yeah, well, like, it's just about, it's almost like some of my friends are being selfish at this point. Like, we have, like, one of our closest friends, you and I together, Matt, he has been dating the same girl for years. And it's like, dude, take one for the team at this point. Same with my buddy Charlie. Like, I know, like, they're like a bit newer, but they're clearly, it's going to happen.
I think
like, just people need to start taking, at this point, one of my friends.
Matt, you're, yeah,
I'll clap.
He'll do it whenever he wants to.
I know he will, but I'll pressure
him. And whenever he wants to, could be in 30 years.
Yeah, I know. It's very well. I'm not counting on him, but I will pressure him. I'm so desperate to go to a friend wedding that one of our friends as well, another obviously mutual friend of ours, whose initials are EF, like, he's dating a girl who, I don't know, many people don't like her, but I'm willing to pressure that point just to go to a wedding.
Yikes.
Yeah, well, shout out to her family.
Speaking of which, yeah. I actually started watching, I mean, this came out a while ago, but I started watching Emily in Paris recently.
What's that?
Emily in Paris, which was that TV show on Netflix with Lily Collins, who is the daughter of Phil Collins, who has possibly the most legendary movie soundtrack of all time.
Tarzan.
Easily. And she was Emmy nominated for this show, and her performance is like a girl who goes to Paris, an American girl who goes to Paris and then like starts to love the lifestyle, basically. It's an entertaining show to watch. I can't believe it was nominated for an Emmy. It's pretty ridiculous.
Is it more?
People were up in arms about it when the nominations happened.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's another movie that's been nominated in the past that you Crash, that you have deemed ridiculous. Is it more ridiculous than Crash's Oscar nom in your
eyes? No, because Crash, while very, I would call Crash on the nose, is why I don't necessarily like it. And the circumstances that occur in that movie are ridiculous. Like that, whatever. If you've seen the movie, you know I don't really have to say anything. The one thing that's redeemable about Crash is that, well, there's two things. One, Michael Pena's in it, and I love Michael Pena.
Yeah, he's your favorite.
Yeah, and two, the subject matter is important, and
yeah.
And the effort was to get people talking about...
that was back in like 05.
Racism, yeah. Basically, is what it's about, and police brutality as well. Mm-hmm. So I think the messaging was good. I just think it was really overt in a way that made it like not lifelike. But yeah, it's worse than Crash.
Speaking of not lifelike, a lot of, I guess, surprise. Not really. I mean, there's been some surprises this far.
So here we are. We've seen the play-in games.
Yes. So basically,
we're recording Sunday morning as the 76ers game is occurring. I will have my own kind of like solo version of this to recap the second half of the game ones. But we've seen the Heat and the Bucks play. We've seen the Mavs and the Clippers. We've seen the Celtics and the Nets and the Blazers and the Nuggets, as well as those play-in games that I mentioned.
Yeah.
So on the Western side, the Spurs are gone, right? They dropped the game to the Grizzlies. Then the Grizzlies went and beat the Warriors, who had lost to the Lakers.
Yeah.
So the Lakers are the 7th seed. They're playing the Suns, and the Grizzlies are the 8th seed. They are playing the Jazz.
Yeah.
I thought that for the play-in game, in my mind, just in the Western side, was a huge success.
Because I think the whole thing is a success.
Yeah. We got to see Steph versus LeBron. LeBron hits that incredible three-point shot on a broken play to put them up, and then they win by 3 points. For us, as we were watching the game, I think the real story was the defense that they played, and it really brought forth that Steph was playing this entire season on his own. At least from the offensive side, because he's got a streaky Andrew Wiggins.
And his number two guy is not Andrew. His number two guy is Draymond Green.
Who, at the end of the year, has more rebounds and assists than he does points. He's the first player in NBA history to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
He was like top 10 in assists, though.
No, and it's not a knock. I mean, we've talked about it before. We love Draymond Green. I do, personally. I mean, I think even in that Lakers game, he still showed that he deserves to be a top three DPOY candidate, almost on a perennial basis. So it's tough, though, because you saw against the Grizzlies that 8 seconds left, tie game, you need to get a bucket, and Draymond Green airballs floater.
Yeah, I mean, I was on a date during that game, and it's with a girl who was a great first date, probably not going to see her again just because we don't live in the same city.
But you were enamored on the date. You were attentive, as any person going on a first date should be.
You know me. And she knows me well as you could on a first date at this point.
Yeah.
I totally forgot this game was going on. That's how, like, I was so...
Good of a sports podcaster you are.
That's how good of my job I was. I was so... She goes to the bathroom. I look outside. I just kind of decompress and, like, look outside because we're sitting, like, on, like, the... Not on the street, like the street seating, but we're seating in the restaurant, but closest to the street. So we're like pretty much outside. And there's three guys watching the game through the restaurant, like at the TV. And I kind of come to, and I realize it's 99-99 with like 8 seconds left right before Draymond hits that miserable floater. I stand up. I'm talking to the guys out in the street. I've immediately switched off date mode, and I'm back into like me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not his shot. Like, what was that? Like, yelling at, like, anybody who listens. So the woman next to me, she was, what, do you have money on this game? Like, people were trying to talk at me. He's like, I was so animated. And maybe because I had, like, a glass of wine or two deeps. So I was just, like, off the moon talking to these guys. The girl comes back, and she goes, oh, no, I left you alone for, like, 2 seconds. And then this is what's erupted. But that, again.
I mean,
like,
that's how cool the play-in games were, though.
I mean,
because they're not game sevens, right? Because you don't have the narrative of these two teams each winning three games and getting to this point. And the cool thing about the NBA playoffs, any sort of playoff series, especially in hockey as well, is there are these relationships that build between the players, and most of the time they're built on animosity.
Well, yeah, it's built on animosity, and it's also built on lineage too. So we talk about the whole like LeBron versus Steph, but the whole kind of passing of the torch to Ja Morant now, who now gets to go face Spider Mitchell in like a young man's battle of guards. And I think the thing with this one was,
because Ja really did win them that game.
He scored like 35 points. He was excellent.
And he scored the last three baskets.
He was superb. And that team, and we were talking with our buddy Zach about it, that team is not, I'm like, they're not sexy on paper. He's like, well, yeah, but everyone's good on that team.
Yeah.
And they're so well coached.
They're
shout out to St. Mark's.
Yeah, Taylor Jenkins is a fantastic head coach.
But that's but they were the 9 seed. They would not have made the playoffs. And
I do think that they have, in this series with the Jazz,
yeah,
they're going to have a really tough time because they are overperforming.
They always are, though.
Continuously. And that has to do with their head coach. He gets the best out of that roster. But I still think that Ja, even though this was a big moment for him,
mm-hmm,
beating Steph,
yeah,
having a great game like he did, like you mentioned, hitting the game winner, that floater.
Yeah.
But they're still lacking a lot. Like Dylan Brooks forces shots. He's not great. Jaren Jackson is coming back from injury. Valanciunas is the beast in the paint, but can't score in the post. Like,
but he's going to give like, clip. I think I'm excited for him versus Gobert. I'm excited versus Spot. I mean, look, I think the Jazz, Clarkson's playing is absolutely, he's the sixth man of the year. They have the sixth man of the year. They have Ingles. They have Bogdanovich. Conley's back to normal. I mean, they are just a better, and plus I think Quinn Snyder's toe-to-toe as good of a head coach. So I think there are, obviously the Jazz are the favorites, should be the favorites, should take care of business. But at what point, though, the question is yeah, we've been saying for the last 2 years the Grizzlies are playing above their pay grade, but at what point is just that that's their pay grade? They are that good. Like, at what point?
Well,
like,
I think that you can look at their roster all across the board.
I know, like, I'm with you, and it's like it's not good.
And,
like,
well, this is what we do with the Jazz a lot, right? This is what I do with the Jazz a lot, because I say with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and it's a close game, oftentimes Donovan Mitchell is not as good as the opposing star.
Yes.
Jordan Clarkson, if you put him on the Grizzlies, he might be the best scorer on that roster.
Yeah.
It's feasible. I mean,
it's not a crazy statement at all.
Ja Morant's not going to have 35 every single game.
He's Ja is...
The Warriors forced Ja Morant to shoot threes.
Yeah.
He made the most threes he's made in his career. He made 5 threes. He's never done that before. So you got to tip your cap to him.
He's very clutch.
Got to tip your cap to him to shoot 5 threes and make 5 threes.
Yeah.
And shoot, I think he was like 5 for 9, 5 for 10. It's a great shooting night for him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to do that every night. You force him to do that. You force him to do that because he's not a consistent 3-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a lot of room to grow. He's super young, obviously. I'd be surprised if they got more than 2 games.
Yeah, totally. But I think it's like, okay, like it was an exciting game. Glad Ja's in it and glad it's him versus Spider. I think it's a really good, low-key, sneaky matchup. It's one matchup that I think people are not excited about. But I think it could be one of the better matchups.
It's also a helpful matchup for the Jazz because they can gain a lot of steam,
mm-hmm,
get a really solid series win against this Grizzlies team.
Yeah.
And their toughest opponents are ahead of them. So
they don't have to play the Lakers. That's all that matters.
Huge.
The Suns are we'll see. You'll recap it later. They're in trouble. Teams that are in trouble. The Celtics. Here's the thing. Celtics, they held the Nets to 104 points. Granted, it's like the 9th game the 3 of those guys have played together. But if you're going into that and you told me, hey, the Nets are only going to score 104 points and Robert Williams is going to set a franchise record of 9 blocks.
Crazy.
I'm kind of thinking we're going to win that game. It's just no Jaylen Brown. There's nothing really offensively outside of Tatum and outside of Kemba. Fournier has not had any time whatsoever to acclimate to the team.
Yeah.
They're going to get swept because this kind of game, similar to how, remember a couple years ago, like obviously everyone remembers this, when J.R. Smith dribbles it out and doesn't take that shot when they really could have had the opportunity, and then the Warriors go on to win that game and then it was just over.
Right.
This was our best chance to beat the Nets and steal a game in Brooklyn, and then kind of go probably 1-1 back to the Garden. And now we're going to go 2-0 to the Garden, and we're just going to maybe get one game if we're lucky, because Tatum shut down. Kemba, his first step still wasn't there. I mean, he had stuff at the end of the regular season, but this is playoff basketball. It's different. He had a very tough time. And the rest of the roster is just too young and inexperienced at this point. We're missing our number two guy. I mean, as good as Robert Williams is defensively, and he's a jumpstart athlete, it's just he's not good enough offensively.
Yeah,
and they have guys that can do that too. Like Claxton is like not as good as Robert Williams, but it's the same type of player.
He's better offensively.
Sure, and they have Blake Griffin is just a guy on that team, which is crazy. We say this all the time, but Harden didn't even have his best game, and they still were dominant. Kyrie was.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that game was neck and neck through halfway through the third, and then they kind of And then what happens is the offensive buckets and how easy it is for Kyrie, Harden, and Durant to get their own shot, create a good shot for themselves, which to them, they're all elite shot makers. So comparatively to all the other guys outside of Tatum on the Celtics roster, like Fournier coming off of a screen and firing up a three isn't a good shot, but it is for Kyrie, right? Yeah.
It's when you have a good bullpen in baseball, though. It's like when you have an excellent bullpen in baseball and you have a good starter, you don't have to go the starter six. You don't have to stretch him every time. You could kind of let him chill and like only go six innings. Like they could let Durant go six innings and then they bring in Kyrie and Harden as the closers, like with the setup man, and then it's over. Because that's what happened.
I mean,
KD was dominating and then Kyrie started dominating. And then Harden kind of kicked in at the end of the game. And then it's just one, two, three, and you cannot keep up.
Right. And it's nice. I mean, it's not always the nicest thing to watch when KD or Kyrie are working solo one-on-one against a guy. I mean, it's very nice to watch, but in the context of like what is team basketball, what really looks appealing to the eye, it's backdoor cuts, it's passing, it's moving, it's creativity, it's flow, all of those things that Herb Brooks like talking about. Miracle, amazing. But it lets when Kyrie goes one-on-one against a guy, one-on-ones against Kemba Walker or Fournier, who he knows he can beat, it's a high percentage shot that he's getting out of it. Kevin Durant can take a possession off.
Yeah.
And then the next possession, he gets to do it. Exactly what you're talking about.
It's like it's a fresh leg.
I mean, they scored between the three of them. I think they scored 80 points.
Yeah. Maybe the better comparison is when you have a good running back stable. It's like the Alabama running backs.
Yeah.
It's like they weren't even starting Josh Jacobs at Bama, and he's a first-round pick. That's what it's like. The stat of the day, I mean, they're gonna smack us. That's a given at this point.
Yep.
Craziest stat of yesterday, or 2 days ago, was Jokic one assist. Taking away his playmaking ability. It's playoff basketball. And look, Porter Jr. is really good. And I know it's all playoff basketball. But look, the Blazers are a team. This is a bad matchup for the Nuggets only because we know it could be a good matchup if they had Murray. This is the matchup where they need Murray to keep up in that shooting race. Because if they're going to take away his playmaking, they're not going to be able to
compete. I think a really apt comparison for this Nuggets team is the mid-2000s Suns team, where however much talent there is in the NBA, Steve Nash won back-to-back MVPs, and he's averaging like 16 points a game, 18 points a game. And now we're seeing a similar type of MVP, Jokic, who, you know, we've never seen a big man who can pass like him. But to your point, one assist is very telling of how defensively Portland wants to attack this matchup. Yeah. They want to make him a scorer. They want to make him go for 50 every night. Because that means that the other looks that these other guys on the Nuggets are getting aren't coming from Jokic and normally through their systematic offense that always plays through him.
Yeah. I mean, also, it's like, look, he did score 34, and 34 and 16 is like an excellent game. But Porter Jr. went 1 of 10 from
34 and 16, but normally we're used to him getting 25 and then 11 assists, which how many points is that accounting for, right?
Probably like another 25 points. Yeah.
Exactly. So you're talking about a 15-point disparity there that is now unaccounted for. You know, you've got guys like Campazzo, but when Campazzo he's one of the worst point guards that's starting in the playoffs right now. I do like his savvy and the ability to pass and open things up.
Starter.
But he's also playing defense against Damian Lillard. And Damian Lillard's just licking his chops.
Well, it's like Porter Jr. and Gordon are like, they're not good enough 3-point shooters. Like, they're not, it's just like, and Dame,
Porter Jr. is a good enough 3-point shooter.
He went 1 of 10. I know it's one game, but he's an inexperienced young kid who's not the caliber. Again, this team is like, McCollum and Lillard didn't even shoot the three that well, and they still, like, dominated. They shot they made, like, 10 more threes.
Well, I was listening to the in-game commentary, and the Blazers are going to go 8 deep, and the only guy that hasn't played playoff basketball, really, or playoff minutes, is Anfernee Simons. So all those, who was good. Well, when you have the pressure off of you, right, because these other guys have been there, Melo, Dame, CJ, Covington certainly has played a lot of playoff basketball. Nurkic, when healthy, has done the same. These guys, you know, Norman Powell has a championship. Like, these guys have all played playoff basketball. They're ready to go, and they're not gonna mess around.
Just unfortunate. I actually think the Blazers are going to win this series.
I do, too.
And I think that, because I just don't, because without Murray, they just can't keep up shooting wise.
And to get game one.
In Denver. Come on.
Yeah.
But I think it's unfortunate because I think the Lakers are going to beat the Suns. And that's just like another roadblock.
So do we think that 5, 6, and 7, the away teams will win these series?
That was a, Okay, the Clippers are the laziest team I've ever seen in my entire life. They have all the talent in the world.
Yeah.
And they just start slow. They ease into games. It was like when I was improv acting, I remember like my first like sit down like with my teacher. And he's like, you're good, but if you want to be great, this is what you're doing wrong. He's like, you're easing into every scene. You think you're calm, cool, you're confident, great. That's all awesome stuff. But you're easing into every scene, and it's tough to go from 5 to 10 where you really need to be as an improv comic.
You got
to
be a convertible.
Yeah, you have to go. You have to.
You got to go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds.
You really have to start at like a minimum of an 8. And yeah, they started that game so slow, and this Mavs team is a tough team that can shoot, and they can put the pressure, and they can move very quickly, and they have unbelievable team chemistry, which, again, for the second year in a row, the Clippers are lacking.
Yeah, I was listening to – it was a preview show and this was obviously before game one, so yeah, he didn't have the context of watching game one, and these first mm-hmm. these teams come ready to play, and more so the Mavs than the Clippers. But I was listening to Bill Simmons talk about the series, and he was talking about the Mavs' lack of depth, which I thought, you know, I can contest, and I can contest with the best of them because I watch every single Mavs game. I know their team like the back of my hand.
You think that he's saying the Mavs have bad depth?
In comparison to the Clippers.
I don't necessarily think that's true.
I don't either. I vehemently disagree with it. And part of that is because Luka Doncic, in the same way that we were talking about Chris Paul a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
unlocks other players. Dorian Finney-Smith goes 4 for 5 from three, scores 17 points. He is leading by example. Doe's one of his guys. Like, obviously, in the locker room, there are certain guys that really, really mesh with each other. Luka and Doe have a great chemistry, and that's the type of just kind of leadership and the fire behind coming into game one ready to play, which, of course, Luka is going to do. He's an elite competitor, and it bleeds into other guys. It bleeds into Tim Hardaway, who then hits a huge three in the game to go up three over Kawhi, where other guys take that shot and you're like, what are you doing? And sometimes Tim Hardaway takes those shots and you're like, Tim, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But he does have the ability to make those shots. And it's just, I don't know if they're going to have that same ferocity.
I hope they lose.
Maybe, you know, we've seen Kawhi with his back against the wall and him able to pull things out, but they're going to have a tough time. And Luka has averaged over 30 points per game in every regular season game they've played against the Clippers this year. He is a man on a mission. I don't care what wing defender you put in front of them. He wants to make a statement.
He's the best. He's one of the best offensive players and the best offensive player in the league at this point. Or like at least the most crafty.
To me, the most telling thing is KP had 14 points and they still won the game.
I was about to say, KP didn't even have a good game. Paul George was 1 of 7 to start the game. That can't happen. You are at home.
Ended up with 25 points.
But that's the issue. Like, if he could get there at that point, the issue is like, why weren't you there to start?
Well, the thing for them is like, who else do they have that can really go get them? Like, you can poo-poo Tim Hardaway, but he had 21 points. Right. Who else can go do that for them? Batum's going to score 20-plus points. Rondo, playoff that Rondo, sucks. Is going to score 20-plus points.
Reggie Jackson, Terrence Mann.
Like, you're asking a lot for these guys that aren't born scorers. I mean, the only one that really is like Kennard, but like, how many minutes is he going to take away?
Play.
Exactly.
He didn't even play.
Ibaka's working his way back into the lineup. He played about 14 minutes. He's coming back from an injury. That could be big, but again, like,
they're gonna
lose. It's not Kleba and Porzingis that are tearing them up.
Because if you go back to Dallas, like, you're gonna go back to Dallas, right?
Yeah.
And the whole COVID thing, the stadium's gonna be more packed than it is in LA. That is a serious home game.
Yeah.
I hope they lose. They don't deserve to win this based off what I saw yesterday. I hope Luka wins. And then at that point, Luka will get like Spida and like all of a sudden we're sitting there and like your whole dream scenario it's plausible. I think there's a very good chance we see Luka versus LeBron. I think it's a very good chance.
Yeah. They got to buckle down because of course Kawhi is going to come roaring back right at them. And that's one thing that we've seen before for a young team, right?
Cool. You know what? Let Kawhi come roaring back at them because he didn't have a bad game.
No, he was excellent. Per usual.
So that's the issue let's see these other fuckers come roaring back at them.
Yeah, yeah. I just mean all that to say, like, it's one game.
Yeah.
Can't get ahead of yourself. And for a younger roster, like the Mavericks are, they need to not be complacent with one win, right? They need to stay hungry.
100%.
They need to really...
So you have Carlisle there.
Right. That's what you really need to... You got game one. Go get game two in LA and bury them.
That would be scary. Speaking of getting game one, the Bucks, Heat.
Awesome game opener to the playoffs.
But that's like the kicker. That's why you have. That's what Middleton is. Oh, Giannis can't take the shot. That is why you have Chris Middleton.
Crazy shot. That shot was heavily contested. Duncan Robinson did just about everything you can do.
He's a good defender.
Yeah, yeah, and he showed up. He had 25 points.
He's got like one of the higher defensive.
Forget pluses. Tyler Herro because he's
whatever. No, he's not. Like, we know that though. We've established that. Butler had a horrible game shooting. Horrible.
Really Bam and Butler got outscored by Brook Lopez. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's. No, they didn't, but like the almost, honestly.
Brook Lopez had 18.
Yeah, they had more than that. They had 26.
Together. That's what I'm saying. Oh, each individually outscored by Brook Lopez, the fourth highest scorer on the Bucks. Drew Holiday went for 21.
Who had a great block at the end of the game. I mean, this
anything that they get extra from Drew Holiday, it is so advantageous for them because that's what Eric Bledsoe couldn't do last year.
Having PJ Tucker on this team, not for play value, but just to know that there's a guy on the bench that could come in and help out, I think gives them a little bit of a backbone.
And they've got George Hill there.
DiVincenzo.
Like, yeah. These guys all... You pair up DiVincenzo compared to, like, other team 7 or 8 guy.
They have Teague. Teague's who they have.
Who has Hill?
Hill is... where is he? He's in Philly.
He's on Philly. That's right. Who's going right now, and he has like 10
points. Played for like 9 teams though this year.
He got moved from the Bucks.
Yeah, he got moved from the Bucks, like the Thunder, to Philly.
Bobby Portis was a guy that was top 15, six-man kind of guy this year.
I've always liked Portis's potential. I think he's been good. Look, I think the series is going to be excellent, and then Giannis didn't even have that good of a game. I think this is almost the series the Bucks needed to get that revenge.
Yeah.
If they could close out in 6, they're the 3 seed, right? They could come into the Brooklyn series, and it could be a good one. It's just unfortunate.
I mean, we saw what a guy, and obviously there's not much attention being put on Time Lord, on Robert Williams. But what he was able to do, I was really impressed with him.
He's great.
You
He's
guys,
be big for us.
Like, I did not have the expectation that you guys were even going to get 2 games in this series. It would have been nice to get this first one. That could have changed things up. But you have to take the positives out of it, yeah. Right? And Robert Williams really showed up. I mean, he had 9 blocks.
Excellent.
Our buddy Brandon said he could lead the league in blocks one day. I don't doubt it because he's that talented of a rim protector.
He just needs to get minutes, but I think he'll be getting those minutes. Look, we are one good level-headed offensive player away. Like a guy who's a savvy, and Fournier could really be that guy. He just needs to.
I don't think so.
But he just needs to be He just again needs to be acclimated to the team. He's barely been on the team. He got traded, and then he had COVID, and it was a mess. Like our whole
but I don't like a good Fournier, like a Fournier at his best for y'all. What does that really mean?
That's like 18 points in a guy who's a good shooter. Plus, I'm anticipating Naismith and Pritchard are at least good guys to have off the bench. Plus, we have Marcus Smart.
But you're gonna move Kemba or Marcus or Fournier for someone.
Well, Fournier is free agent, so it'd have to be re-signing him.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I think this Bucks series is gonna be great. We'll leave off there, so you have time to go and do the rest of your stuff. This afternoon. But
cool. And playoff hockey is going on right now, which is cool.
Playoff hockey.
I mentioned to you and Nick. Nick's our good buddy who co-hosts the Charity Strip.
Shout out to his family.
I mentioned to him and to the both of you guys that the Predators Hurricane game that I was watching at crazy. The same time as the Warriors game against the Grizzlies went to double OT.
Mm-hmm.
And the Preds scored with 4 minutes left, which means they played basically like an extra 36 minutes of hockey, which is crazy. That's so cool that that's what the overtime rules are in the NHL. I mean, I know the same thing would happen in the NBA if they played through that many 5-minute OTs.
It's so much more exhausting.
It's yeah. This Horrible. Is the first round.
Yeah,
putting these guys through the ringer. Really.
Also, worst Edmonton Winnipeg is probably the worst playoff series of all time. I don't know enough about hockey.
Yeah, there was a lot of criticism.
David's there.
There was a lot of criticism this year to the breakdown of the different conferences just because of COVID and stuff like that, and all the Canadian teams playing each other and being in the same conference.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know.
It's weird.
It's a bit limiting because you want to see these teams in America play these teams in Canada. I know there were certain things that we couldn't do, but would have been cool, and obviously it'll be great next year to have things back to normal.
Yeah, more playoff hockey. All right, we're taking a break.
How many more, before you go, how many more no-hitters are there going to be?
I'll say this on the no-hitter situation. Let it happen. Baseball, I was telling our one of our new coworkers, I guess our new boss, Eric, I was like, baseball to me, you know, I'm like, I love baseball. He's like, me too. And I was like, baseball to me is your friend who's a good looking guy, but is always like, I'm ugly. I look terrible. I look terrible. I look good. So after a while, you're like, yeah, you think this guy looks ugly and is gross. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just always is a calling itself out. Yeah, the no hit. Let the no hitters happen. Let the home runs happen. Stop calling it out. Like, just at the.
I don't think I'm of the same opinion. What's the problem? It's great.
Yeah,
it should be celebrated.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this sucks. This stinks.
Isn't that what we're all what we love seeing is like perfection at the sport?
Everyone's like too many strikeouts, too many, and it's like you know what? You're burying it at this point. I found myself when I was shitting on Manfred. I was like, I got to stop shitting on Manfred because I'm just burying the sport I love. You got to stop talking so negatively about yourself. It's just like if the players have a negative image, it's not inviting to the fans. So I need the no hitters. I hope there's more, and I hope people shut the fuck up and let it happen.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like watching Steph break the three-pointers in a game record and being like, ugh, terrible. They shoot way too many threes. And it's like, yes, we do.
We know that.
But he still shot 16 threes and made 16 threes. That's unbelievable.
We know that.
Yeah.
We know what's happening. We're all right. Watching. So just stop calling attention to it, all right? We know. Just like stop ruining the magic trick. It's like, I know how you did that. I know how you – or the heckler in the audience. Like, shut the fuck up. It's a comedy show. You know how this works.
The magician whose secrets get told to everyone. PGA Championship is going on right now. Phil Mickelson would be the oldest guy to win a major.
Yeah. And well, that'll be done by the time you hop back on, right?
It absolutely will.
Great. So we'll leave off there.
Phil's got a 2-stroke lead right now, though.
Hey, everybody. Toss here, jumping back into the show to finish off the rest of the game ones in the NBA playoffs. We will take it game by game here on Sunday, recording late Sunday night. Just kind of wanted to wrap things up and jump in where Josh and I left off. So the Wizards and the Sixers, that game was going on while Josh and I were recording. Sixers took care of business 125-118. Interesting storyline for that game is that Tobias Harris had 37 points. That is definitely a playoff career high for him. Simmons had a measly 6 points, but he also had 15 rebounds and 15 assists. And Joel Embiid had an expected 30 piece. So the interesting story to me there is you're not going to get 37 from Tobias every single game. Granted, the Wizards, who are not a great defensive team, led up 125 points. I do expect the Sixers to score more than 100 points in nearly every game of the series, but the game ended, with the 7-point margin of victory. So, all that to say, you know, Beal put up 33 points. Westbrook only had 16. Bertans contributed 14. And, you know, Rui had 12. I just think that maybe this 1-8 series is going to be a lot closer than we expected. And all that to say, the Wizards potentially could get a couple games here. Maybe even three. Turn this into a real series, and that's something to look out for going forward. The 76ers are fantastic at home, so I really don't think there's any way that they drop the series, but it was a lot more enticing and close of a game than I expected it to be, especially after the Wizards had two hard-fought games to get them into that 8 spot. You know, then we had the Suns-Lakers game. What a fantastic battle that was between the two savvy vets. You know, you've got LeBron going up against his one of his good friends, Chris Paul. They had kind of a tie-up during the game. LeBron grabs Chris Paul. Or Chris Paul grabs LeBron's shoulder. After earlier in the game, Chris Paul had gone down for a neck or shoulder sort of injury, and he looked to be writhing in pain. I wasn't sure he was going to come back onto the court. He does. It was clearly ailing him as he took a couple of, you know, late possession chucks where the shot form just did not look the same. But Devin Booker really showed out. The Lakers, when they get down in late game situations, because LeBron and Anthony Davis get the majority of their buckets attacking the basket and ones around the paint, mid-range work, LeBron with the bully dribble, getting to the basket and finishing, they can kind of get in sticky situations when a team's up 8 to 10 points on them late in the fourth quarter. You know, Caruso hits a big three, but they become dependent upon these other guys to really pick up the slack. And if Wes Matthews and KCP and Caruso and Dennis Schroeder can't hit threes, they're going to be in trouble. And LeBron couldn't hit them either. So, you know, we always expect him to hit the big shots. He didn't tonight. Devin Booker did. DeAndre Ayton was a beast in the paint. I mean, that's the real big storyline. He outplayed Anthony Davis by a long shot. Anthony Davis, who I think was like 6 for 17. He had a terrible shooting day. I know he's still finding his rhythm. He ended up with 13 points. When LeBron and Anthony Davis combined for 31 points, you are in trouble, especially when Devin Booker outscores the two of them combined. And DeAndre Ayton went 21 for 16. So, you know, he still has a lot to improve. Josh and I were watching the game together, and we were commentating on how he brings the ball low a lot when he catches in the post instead of keeping it high and finishing at the rim, which allows those shorter guys to strip the ball away from him. But even with that room for improvement, really impressed with this first playoff game for him. And additionally for Devin Booker, showing that they do belong, that they are the two seed, and taking care of business. I think that the Lakers were a heavy favorite in this series, and that's just, it's a bit ridiculous, because this is a Suns team that is red hot. They have a great coach. They have played together majority of the time, all been on the court. And that means a lot going to the playoffs. And of course, you know, the Lakers, while they were there last year, they finished the job last year. They won the championship. You know, LeBron and Anthony Davis have been out here and there, and they don't really have enough help elsewhere, or at least in my opinion. You know, Trez had a decent game, but you can only expect so much for those other players on that team. Drummond was basically a non-factor in this game. So I expect them to bounce back and to, you know, potentially get that game two at Talking Stick in Phoenix. But we'll see. I'll be rooting for the Suns in that series just because I'm a big Devin Booker guy. Josh and I have talked about it before. I really think that people are underrating his ability to create his own shot. And that's one thing that becomes very important in playoff series is, you know, the defense gets tighter and you have to be able to reach into that bag and be able to get a shot in any sort of situation. He's got the mid-range. He obviously can shoot it from three, not a tremendous clip. This year, statistically, he only shot around 34.5%, 35%, but he's got a great floater. And his footwork is, it's phenomenal. So he can find space to create his shot, and a good shot for him, basically whenever he needs to. And when DeAndre Ayton's cleaning up in the paint on the offensive glass, tip-ins, you know, getting those second chance points, he's got shooters around him, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, Chris Paul. We'll see how the shoulder kind of affects him the rest of the series. But I expect a lot of theatrics in that matchup, which will be fun and exciting. Some more theatrics. The Atlanta Hawks win on a 2-point margin of victory against the Knicks. That was crazy. In the Garden, MSG, John from New York. I know you're bummed out about that one. Story for that one. Obviously, Trae Young hits that floater. He silences the crowd. He does the motion, and that's going to be the big story. But Julius Randle, he ate up the Hawks in the regular season, and they limited him to 17 points. So I'm really impressed with Nate McMillan and his defensive game plan. Clearly, they wanted to shut him down. He obviously is a great finisher at the rim, but he didn't have a great shooting night. I thought he was forced into a lot of mid-range contested shots. And, you know, I was talking to one of my good buddies who's a Hawks fan. Bogdan Bogdanovic might be the best player on the Hawks. We were saying that, and we were saying that the real test was going to be whether or not Trey could understand that Bogdan might be the best player. And, you know, we figured that Tibbs was going to force Trey into having to play hero ball, and by that, you know, it becoming their Achilles heel and him forcing shots and him not playing within himself. But I really thought that he kind of proved us wrong. Again, it's just game one. Seems like it's going to be a really tight series, but if the Hawks are playing above 100 points per game, it's always going to favor them because they're the team that is, you know, more offensively driven. They are able to create good shots. Trae Young does break down defenses. He opens things up for the shooters around him. And Bogdanović hit a three with about 40 seconds left that was absolutely crucial, kind of on a broken play. And that's the type of shot-making ability that can push them past this round one. DeAndre Hunter's still getting his footing, so I expect him to kind of progress as the series goes on. But I don't know. I mean, you can only rely on Alec Burks so much. Julius Randle has to step up. Reggie Bullock needs to be ready to shoot. RJ Barrett had a thunderous jam in the second quarter, but he only had 14. So someone's going to have to step up for this Knicks team. It's been Julius Randle all year. I expect it to be him, but they're going to need some help here because this Hawks team is, as Josh likes to say, no slouch. So they take the lead. You know, they're still back in MSG for next game. We'll see how the Knicks bounce back. I know that everyone's excited just to have Knicks playoff basketball. And then rounding out the day were the Grizzlies versus a Donovan Mitchell-less Jazz. And it was a three-point game. The final was a three-point game. The Grizzlies at the 8 seed won. They, as one of the commentators, you know, mentioned during the game, they've been playing playoff basketball for the last 2 weeks. They're very well coached. You've got Taylor Jenkins. He's a young coach, but he comes from the Popovich tree. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to game plan. And I'm a little disappointed that Snyder, I mean, you got to respect the training staff for the Utah Jazz. And clearly, they felt that Donovan Mitchell couldn't play. I know earlier in the day, they said that he should. They said that he would. And Donovan Mitchell was ready to do so. But they made a second evaluation. He sat. And it just, even though their record at the end of the regular season, Donovan Mitchell missed about a month at the end of the regular season for a sore ankle, an ankle sprain that still has lingering soreness. I am worried what they look like in a playoff scenario without him. And I expect him to be back for game two, but it was really apparent that they struggled to score, especially in that ISO style playoff basketball. And when their shot's not falling, they do generate a lot of great looks. That happens when you have a guy like Mike Conley. A lot of second chance opportunities with Rudy Gobert. He's a beast on the glass. Bogdanović actually had 29 tonight, but there are other shooters, you know, Royce O'Neal, Ingles, Niang. Clarkson didn't have, he was under his PPJ on the regular season. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's probably going to be the sixth man of the year. You expect when Donovan Mitchell is out that he takes a step up, scores around 20 points, if not more. They just struggled, it looked like, to find offensive shots within themselves and to hit those shots. I mean, I know that the game was close, but it really wasn't. It wasn't close until the very end, and they cut the gap a lot. This Grizzlies team's ready to play, though. They are competitive. They are young. They make mistakes, but they're tenacious, and they don't back down. And I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, they have their leader in Ja Morant, but Dylan Brooks can always go get a bucket. Jaren Jackson is still finding his footing. He's coming back from an injury, so I expect him to play better, just in the similar vein as DeAndre Hunter. As the rest of the series plays out, like, he should find his footing and split some time with Jonas Valanciunas, who's been an absolute beast for them down in the paint. He certainly is not as good as Rudy Gobert, but he is been playing the best basketball I've seen him play. And that means something, because to kind of neutralize Rudy Gobert as much as you can is something that's going to be important for the Grizzlies. And I think it's going to be tough, because I don't want to make any assumptions without Donovan Mitchell there and playing. But again, is he going to be back 40 minutes next game? I don't know. I don't know what that injury looks like. If he's not, this could be a 7-game series for the Grizzlies. And I expect them to make it really, really tough. Even if it's not a 7-game series, they're going to make it really, really tough for the Jazz. So a lot of fun basketball today, and we're rolling into it. As you're listening, you know, the Heat-Bucks game is going into game two, Blazers and Nuggets, Celtics and Nets, and the Lakers and Suns. That's on Tuesday, and so is the Celtics and Nets. But a lot of playoff basketball, really exciting. Thank you for listening, as always, and we'll be back, you know, for your Thursday morning show, and we'll probably have more stuff to talk about, more fun things that have happened in the league. And I just can't wait for Tuesday night for the Lakers and the Suns, because get ready for some theatrics. The popcorn is definitely a necessity when you're watching LeBron James back-to-back games with apparent injuries. I haven't watched his press conference after this Lakers Suns game, but he probably mentioned something about getting grabbed on the shoulder. But outside of that, you know, it's just if you're gonna bet, you better go to betonline.ag because it is the best place to get live spreads, odds. They've got the 24/7 casino, really just the best place to put in any sort of bet. BetOnline.ag. So go there today. The show is sponsored by BetOnline. So without further ado, hit your free throws, cause they free. We out ya. We love ya.
We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe in that?
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Bases loaded. 2 out.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.